This program is intended for a print-impaired audience and is brought to you by Audio Journal. Welcome to Audio Journal's Children's Hour. The selections for this hour are designed for school-age listeners. We will read books, poems, and other children's print material. This program is supported in part by the Memorial Foundation for the Blind and the Massachusetts Commission for the Blind. My name is Holly Miller, and I'm so excited to be with you today. I'll start by reading two stories from the Rebecca Girl Detective book series by P.J. Ryan. Ghost Hunting, Chapter 1. Rebecca and her best friend Mouse liked to do everything together. They would play kickball. They would have mice races with Mouse's pet mice. They would even investigate mysteries together. But tonight, they were not doing any of that. Tonight, they were watching a very spooky movie. The spooky movie was Mouse's idea, of course. Mouse was curious about all things spooky. He liked aliens, ghosts, and monsters. At least he liked to learn about them. He did not actually like to see them in person. Of course, according to Rebecca, there was no such thing as an alien, ghost, or monster. But that didn't stop them from being good friends. With popcorn to share and the lights out, they sat in Rebecca's living room.
"Is this one a zombie movie or a ghost movie?" Rebecca asked as she tossed some popcorn in her mouth.
"A ghost movie,"
Mouse replied as he too ate some popcorn.
"It is really scary,"
he warned.
"It can't be that scary," she argued, "because ghosts aren't real."
"That's what everyone says until they meet one,"
Mouse pointed out.
"I have never met and will never meet one," Rebecca said, standing her ground. "Ghosts are completely impossible, and there is no way that anyone can ever prove they are real."
She sighed as Mouse rolled his eyes.
"Just watch the movie."
He stuffed his mouth full of popcorn. He sneaked a few pieces to the little mouse in his pocket. His pet mouse munched down on the popcorn. The mouse did not care what movie was on television. It was a very scary movie, though. And by the time it was over, Rebecca was a little creeped out.
"How am I supposed to sleep now?" she asked with a frown.
"I thought you said you weren't afraid of ghosts,"
Mouse teased.
"I'm not," she insisted. "But I am a little afraid of people who would make a movie like this."
The two friends laughed and said goodnight when Rebecca's father came to pick her up. Chapter 2. When Rebecca got home, she went straight to her room and crawled into bed. She was a little nervous about the lights being out after the movie, but she ignored her fear and did her best to go to sleep. Rebecca was having a very nice dream about white rabbits. Not the white rabbits of fairy tales, but actual white rabbits that were hopping all over the place. She was chasing them across a field, and every time she caught one, she would let it go so she could try to catch another one.
"Come back," she called to the rabbits. "Come back."
Then suddenly, all the rabbits ran off, leaving Rebecca alone in the field. She noticed something out of the corner of her eye. It was a strange glow. It was a glow she was familiar with, but she could not remember exactly what it was. She closed her eyes for a moment to think, and when she opened them again, she was awake in her own room. She could still see the glow from her dream. In the darkness, it was really quite a scary glow.
"I'm not afraid of the dark," Rebecca said quietly as she peered toward the window. "But maybe just a little afraid of that light."
The eerie glow outside of her window made her eyes open wider. She sat up slowly and looked intently out through the glass. What she saw was more shocking than anything she could have expected. Walking past her window, as if it was not strange at all, was a woman in a white gown. It looked like she had white hair to match. In her hand was a candle. The flame flickered in the wind. She was walking very slowly. The gown was too long for Rebecca to see her feet.
She could not believe what she was seeing. It was amazing and scary. Could it be a ghost?
"Of course it's not a ghost," she said to herself. "That movie has me going crazy."
She blinked her eyes a few times, certain that she was seeing some sort of reflection on the glass of the window. Then she looked again. There the woman was, still walking right across the backyard with her candle held out in front of her.
"What in the world?"
As Rebecca pushed back her covers, she saw the being continue to walk between her house and the house next door. The woman had no expression. She seemed to be staring off into the night. As hard as Rebecca tried to think of an explanation for her presence, she could not get her mind to settle down long enough to come up with a solution. All she knew for sure was that it was not normal to see a woman in a white gown walking across her yard in the middle of the night. Then Rebecca heard a strange noise. It was a chattering sound. It kept getting louder, and it was all around her. It took her a minute to realize it was her own teeth. There was no way to deny it. She was scared. She dove back under the blankets and burrowed into her pillows. She was not going to scream for her parents, but she was not going to look out the window again. As she tried to figure out how a ghost could be real, she found herself drifting off to sleep. She knew that in no time she would be ghost food, but the blankets were warm and her pillow was soft. Chapter 3. Rebecca woke up to the sound of birds outside her window. She sat up quickly, trying to decide if she was still afraid. As she sat on the edge of her bed, she had another thought. Had it all been a dream? She was sure that movie had made her think up things that were not true. That was all it was. But there was still a gnawing suspicion inside her. She decided to prove to herself that it was no ghost that had been walking through the yard, that in fact, no one had walked through the yard at all. She slid her slippers on her wiggling toes and hurried out the back door. Her parents were still sleeping. In fact, the whole neighborhood was probably still sleeping. Still in her pajamas, she crouched down and looked closely at the ground. Her eyes were still a little blurry from just waking up, but she was determined to find some evidence. She was sure a real ghost would not leave footprints. The ground was moist from the morning dew. The pants of her pajamas were getting wet at the ankles from the grass. She shivered a little in the cool morning air, but ignored it.
"No ghost here," she told herself, as she noticed some bent blades of grass.
There was no footprints, though, as if whatever had been the grass had been hovering above it.
"No, Rebecca, no way. There is no such thing as ghosts."
She was certain of this. However, as she continued to study the bent blades of grass, she was surprised by something strange.
"Rebecca!"
A voice called out in a shaky, scary tone.
"Rebecca, why have you left me all alone?"
She gasped and started to walk backwards. As she did, her slipper slid in the wet grass, and she fell right down on her bottom.
"Ouch!"
she sighed. She started to stand up when the bushes began to move. She froze as she stared at the bushes. Was it really the ghost? Had it come back for her?
"Rebecca, I'm sorry, are you okay?"
Mouse, sounding a bit worried, emerged from the bushes.
"Mouse!"
Rebecca huffed as she started to stand up. He reached for her hands to help her.
"Why would you scare me like that?"
"Because,"
he tried to hide a smile,
"I'm usually the one that's scared, not you. I just had to take the chance to make you think ghosts might be real."
For once, Rebecca shook her head. "I think you might be right." Chapter 4.
"Remember we were supposed to meet to go over the project for science class?"
Rebecca sighed and tried to get her heart to stop racing.
"Oh, yes," she shook her head. "I forgot. I had the strangest dream, all because of that movie. But I don't really think it was a dream."
A dream that wasn't a dream?
Mouse laughed.
Now that's a real mystery.
It really isn't funny.
She frowned as they walked back into her house.
Last night I saw something very strange.
What was it?
He asked curiously.
It was someone pretending to be a ghost, she replied firmly.
Pretending? How do you know they were pretending?
Because, silly, ghosts aren't real.
She rolled her eyes as if that should be obvious.
But what if they are? What if you're wrong about this one?
Rebecca lifted her chin in the air and huffed.
I'm never wrong, she insisted.
Oh, really?
Mouse asked.
What about the green meat in the cafeteria?
Rebecca sighed.
Okay, well, I might have confused broccoli cuts with meat, but anyone could do that.
Sure,
Mouse laughed.
Mouse, really, there's no such thing as ghosts. You need to face that.
Come with me to the library, and I will show you all the books that are written on it,
he said.
Maybe we can find out why a woman in a white dress would be walking through your backyard.
Or maybe I can find all the books that prove there is no such thing as ghosts, Rebecca said with a laugh.
As they started toward Rebecca's house so she could get dressed, Rebecca noticed that one of the flower pots had a small amount of water gathered in it.
Did it rain last night? She asked curiously.
Very early this morning,
Mouse replied.
Why?
Well, that explains it, Rebecca said smugly. There are no footprints because the rain washed them away. But rain can't wash away bent grass. Our ghost definitely had feet.
Oh, that's a relief, Mouse laughed. I guess.
He shook his head as Rebecca ran into the house to get changed as quickly as she could. There was nothing she enjoyed more than a good mystery. Chapter 5. When they arrived at the library, there were more cars than usual in the parking lot. Rebecca thought it was odd, but she ignored it. She was determined to prove Mouse wrong. Inside the library, there was a quiet buzz of people whispering. Mouse headed straight for the shelves in the back, while Rebecca headed for the science section. A few minutes later, they both met up at one of the large wooden tables in the middle of the large room. Rebecca had one stack of books. Mouse had his own stack of books. They sat down across from each other, ready to prove the other wrong. As Rebecca looked through her books, she heard the door to the library swing open several times.
According to these books, the only way you can see a ghost is if they need your help,
Mouse said with a frown. He was flipping through the pages of several books. They were spread out on the large table in front of him. Rebecca was looking around with some confusion at all the people in the library. She had never seen so many people in the library at one time before. When a librarian, Mrs. Peters, walked by them, Rebecca called out to her quietly.
"What's going on in here?" she asked. "Why are there so many people?"
"It's a special paranoia group,"
the librarian explained.
"They're showing off all the tools they use for their investigations."
"There are tools for paranormal investigations?"
Rebecca asked with a skeptical frown.
"How can there be tools if ghosts aren't real?"
Mrs. Peters smiled patiently at Rebecca.
"It is good that you are so interested in science, Rebecca. But it is important to remember that nobody knows everything about the world. People are entitled to different opinions about what is and isn't real."
She paused as Rebecca sighed.
"You should come and see the tools. They are very scientific." "See?"
Mouse announced proudly.
"Scientific tools."
He grinned as if he'd won.
"Tools for paranormal investigation," Rebecca mused as she turned back to Mouse. "Sounds like we're in luck. Let's see what they have to say about our ghost."
Chapter 6. They headed over to the two large tables covered with the equipment that the paranormal investigators had brought with them for their speech. Two men stood at the front of the library.
They had all kinds of special tools for detecting ghosts and supernatural activity. Mouse was very interested. He kept leaning closer to see the different items. Rebecca, who always admired another detective, was more interested in the way they had set everything up so that they would not be detected themselves. "For this demonstration, we will need everyone to keep very quiet," the taller man said. He pointed to the librarian, who was standing next to the light switch on the wall. The librarian turned off the lights, and the library was plunged into darkness. Then a faint glow began from the table where the men had their equipment set up. "This low light will pick up on the slightest movements. If something moves, it will brighten," the man explained. "This gives our camera a chance to get a better picture of just what is moving." The man beside him spoke next.
"So, while we are being very quiet, we also need to be very still. And maybe, just maybe, we'll get a signal that something mysterious is here with us."
Rebecca rolled her eyes. She was certain that there would not be anything mysterious in the library. At least nothing more mysterious than the two men and their strange stories. Mouse was much more interested than Rebecca. He kept inching closer to the glow. Everyone was very quiet and very still. That was, until suddenly the light began to glow very bright, and something white and swift bolted across the table.
"Ah!"
Many of the people in the crowd cried out. Some even knocked over their chairs. Some screamed and ran for the door. The two men who were putting on the demonstration gasped with surprise. They had not expected anything like that to happen.
"Wait, wait," the taller man said. "This is a great chance to show you how this works."
He paused and swept his gaze over the people that were left in the audience.
"Now, who has an idea of what we just saw?"
"A ghost,"
Mouse said as he stood up from his chair.
"A real ghost."
The two men grinned at his enthusiasm.
"Maybe,"
one said.
"Anyone else?"
he asked. Rebecca frowned as she watched the two take answers from the rest of the crowd. She wasn't sure what the blur had been, but she knew it could not have been a ghost.
"Well, let's take a look at the recording," the man suggested. "It is easy for the eyes to play tricks on the mind," he explained as he was setting up the video feed. "That is why it's so important to keep a clear mind while you investigate."
Rebecca nodded her head quickly. She could agree with them on that. She watched as the television screen flickered to life. Everyone in the crowd quieted down as they waited to see what had caused the blur. The video began to play very slowly, showing frame by frame.
"Uh-oh,"
Mouse said as soon as he saw the first frame with the blur in it. He checked his pocket.
"Oh, dear,"
he whispered.
"What's wrong, Mouse?"
Rebecca asked as she continued to stare at the screen. The next frame revealed the truth.
"Mouse!"
the people began to shriek.
"There's a mouse in the library,"
another person hollered. They all began to scatter for the door.
"And just who might this belong to?"
Mrs. Peters asked as she walked over with a small cardboard box.
"As if I need to ask."
She shook her head as she looked at Mouse.
"Haven't I told you there are no pets allowed in the library?" "Sorry, Mrs. Peters,"
Mouse said as he took the box.
"Well, you two caused quite a stir,"
the two men laughed.
"Thanks for giving us a chance to show off our tools."
They began to pack up their equipment. Mouse was busy trying to contain his pet and kept glancing over at Mrs. Peters apologetically.
"Excuse me, sir," Rebecca said.
"Yes?"
he asked with a friendly smile.
"How could you go about catching a ghost?" she asked.
"You can't really catch a ghost. It's not really possible."
Rebecca heaved a heavy sigh.
"I'm talking about a ghost who's pretending to be a ghost,"
The two men exchanged glances and then shrugged.
Well, I guess you would have to wait for them to show up and then take a picture or a video.
The other man nodded.
If someone is pretending to be a ghost, you should be able to prove it as long as you record it.
What if it's a real ghost?
Mouse asked nervously.
Listen, we do believe in ghosts,
the man said.
But the truth is, it's more often a mouse than a ghost.
Mouse grinned sheepishly and made sure his mouse did not escape.
See, Rebecca said smugly as she glanced at Mouse.
Mouse smirked right back.
We'll know when we see the video,
he replied. Chapter 7. As Rebecca and Mouse left the library, they made plans to meet up later that night around sunset so they could stake out the ghost. As certain as Rebecca was there were no ghosts, she still had to wonder a little. With the eerie glow of the candle and the strange way the woman had stared into the air in front of her, there was something very off about the whole situation. Besides that, who would ever want to spook her in such a way? When she got home, she checked out the area where she had seen the odd figure the night before. There were still very few clues for her to rely on. She knew something had been there, and she hoped it would not turn out to be a ghost. After writing down a few notes in her detective notebook, she did her best to keep herself busy for the rest of the day. She needed to get her mind off the supernatural for a little while. When Mouse knocked on the front door, she was ready. She had a video camera and a baseball bat, just in case.
What's that for?
Mouse laughed when he saw the bat.
Just in case, Rebecca said firmly.
In case the ghost wants to play baseball?
Mouse asked with a giggle.
In case she's not a ghost and she doesn't want her mystery revealed, Rebecca said in a serious tone. If someone is crazy enough to pretend to be a ghost, then they will probably be crazy enough to attack.
I don't know about that, Mouse frowned. But I think it would be fun to play baseball with a ghost.
Rebecca sighed and shook her head as she walked out of the house.
So, do you really think we can catch a ghost?
Mouse asked, as he and Rebecca crept along the side of the house.
Maybe not a ghost, Rebecca said quietly as she narrowed her eyes. But whatever is pretending to be a ghost.
Even after everything we learned and all you've seen, you still don't believe it's a ghost?
Mouse said with a sharp shake of his head.
You're a stubborn one, Rebecca.
I just think it's important to remember that there is usually an explanation for everything, she explained firmly. Of course it's easy to say it's a ghost and run, but it is much harder to figure out what it really is and how we can get it to stop spooking me in the middle of the night, she added.
A yawn proved that she had not been getting much sleep. Mouse nodded.
I can't have a ghost, even a pretend ghost, prancing through my backyard in the middle of the night, Rebecca explained.
She crouched down behind some bushes and pulled out her video camera. Even if she couldn't catch the pretend ghost, she was going to record it. She checked the camera to make sure it would record. She set it up so that it would record continuously while they waited. With the camera recording, they settled back in the bushes. It would not be long before the moon was high in the sky and the street lights offered plenty of light from the road. It was still very spooky since they were waiting on a ghost.
Do you think it will see us?
Mouse asked fearfully.
Yes, and when it does, it will surely turn us into ghosts, she added with a grin.
Really?
Mouse shivered.
I don't want to be a ghost.
No, silly, Rebecca laughed. Even if it is a ghost.
She paused and looked him in the eye.
Which I'm sure it isn't, but even if it is, they can't hurt us, right? All of the books I've read have said that they're more scared of us than we are of them.
Mouse nodded quickly. He wanted to feel better about this, but the truth was, he thought they might be asking for more trouble than they could handle. He had brought with him his extra quiet pet mouse, Starla,
who was huddled in the pocket of his jacket. He nervously fed her some cheese and crouched down beside Rebecca.
"Well, I guess we can find out what we're really dealing with as soon as the sun goes down."
"It could be a while," Rebecca nodded. "There are lots of ghosts, you know. Ghost traffic is terrible this time of night."
"All right, all right."
Mouse laughed and glanced at her.
"You're just going to tease me forever about this, aren't you?"
he asked.
"Of course," she replied, and settled into the grass behind the bushes.
Even though only a few minutes had passed, it was not long before they were both startled by the sound of someone approaching.
"It's her,"
Rebecca squealed when she saw the figure step into her yard.
"Hide,"
Mouse squeaked, and ducked down further behind the bushes. Rebecca did too, but she kept her camera rolling. Chapter 8.
"It's no ghost at all,"
Rebecca exclaimed as she crept closer to the figure, who was walking slowly and carrying a flickering candle.
"What is it then?"
Mouse asked through clenched teeth.
"Shh,"
Rebecca warned him, and crept closer to the woman. She did not touch her, but walked beside her. Mouse fell into step on the other side of the woman. They followed along closely behind, careful to walk very quietly.
"Ma'am, can we help you?"
Rebecca asked as she studied the woman's blank face. She did not answer.
"Ma'am, can you tell us where you live?"
Rebecca asked again, hoping for some kind of response. Again, the woman just kept walking, as if she didn't even hear Rebecca's voice.
"Maybe she's sick,"
Mouse said quietly. He still wasn't convinced that she was not a ghost.
"Let's just stay with her," Rebecca said. "Let's see where she goes."
The woman walked all the way across the backyard and then paused at the fence. She turned around and began walking right back the other way.
"She's acting so strange,"
Mouse frowned.
"Do you think we should call for help?"
"Let's see where she's going," Rebecca said quietly. "If we go inside to call for help, she might be gone by the time we get back."
"That's true,"
Mouse said as they continued to walk beside the woman. She walked right down Rebecca's driveway and started to step into the street. There were two cars coming from both directions, but the woman never even checked before she put a foot down on the street.
"No!"
Rebecca cried out. She grasped the woman's hand and tugged her back from the street just before the car would have hit her.
"Ma'am, didn't you see that car?"
she asked. The woman did not even blink. Now Rebecca was sure they needed to stay with her, as she was obviously not acting very safely. The woman tried again to cross the street. Luckily, this time there were no cars in her path. She walked right across the other side and then paused for just a moment. She turned to the right and began walking along the sidewalk again. This time she almost walked right into a loose dog. The dog began barking furiously.
"Shh,"
Rebecca commanded, without any trace of fear. Mouse had hidden behind her. The dog whimpered and ran off. Even though the dog had made a terrible racket, the woman was still walking and staring just as calmly.
"This is really weird," Rebecca muttered.
The woman walked past another few houses before she turned into a driveway. Rebecca hesitated. She did not know the people who lived in the house. She wasn't sure if they should follow her.
"What do you think, Mouse?"
she asked.
"Should we follow her?"
Before Mouse could answer, his jacket pocket rustled. The little white friend he had toted along with him suddenly escaped. It scooted across the ground right after the woman.
"I think that's our answer,"
he laughed and chased after the mouse. Rebecca chased after him. They all ended up on the porch of the house just as the door swung open. Chapter 9.
"What are you doing here?"
a surly man demanded.
"Sorry, sir,"
Mouse said quickly as he snatched up the mouse.
"Sorry, sir,"
Rebecca added as she stepped back toward the stairs.
"No, no, no, not you,"
he said in a lighter tone.
"I've been looking for Mother all evening and I..."
He trailed off as he looked at the woman's face.
"Oh, no, she's done it again,"
he groaned. He blew the candle out quickly.
Done what? Rebecca asked curiously.
Is she a ghost? Excuse me,
the man asked with surprise.
My name is Mr. Lyle,
he added as he smiled at the two children.
I'm sorry if I frightened you, or if Mother did.
Of course not, Rebecca shook her head. I wasn't scared, she said firmly.
Mouse tried not to smirk, and Rebecca guessed that it was because he knew just how scared she had been.
You know that she almost walked into traffic, Rebecca said calmly. Then she almost tripped over a loose dog.
Oh, dear.
Mr. Lyle shook his head.
I'm so glad you were there. Thank you for helping her,
he said with relief. He wrapped a blanket around the woman's shoulders.
My mother just moved in with us, and she has a little problem.
The woman's eyes fluttered slowly and then opened all the way. She glanced at all the people around her with confusion.
Where am I? She asked with surprise.
It's okay, Mom, Mr. Lyle said. You were sleepwalking again. These kind children helped you get back home.
Oh, dear.
His mother sighed and shook her head.
I'm so sorry for causing trouble. In new places, I always end up sleepwalking. It's not something that I can control.
Rebecca was amazed that their ghost had turned into a sleepwalking woman. She did not believe in ghosts, but she never guessed that this would be the outcome of her mystery.
Ma'am, you could have been hurt, Rebecca said carefully.
She did not want to upset the woman, but she also didn't want to let her get hurt.
You walked right into the street. I'm so lucky you kids were there, she gushed. I just have a hard time keeping in bed when I'm sleeping, she sighed. I always have. Well, I promise to keep an eye out for you, Rebecca offered kindly.
And I promise to hide the candles, Mr. Lyle said. But we'll do our best to make sure that she doesn't wander off in her sleep anymore.
After they chatted for a few more minutes, Mr. Lyle and his mother thanked them again. Rebecca and Mouse started to walk back to Rebecca's house. As they did, they noticed a car stopped a few blocks ahead of them. The two men from the library had their cameras out and were recording something in the trees.
Oh, maybe it's a real ghost,
Mouse said happily.
Let's go see.
No such thing,
Rebecca gulped as Mouse grabbed her hand and made her run toward the two men. When they skidded to a stop beside them, Mouse was out of breath.
What are you looking at?
He said hopefully.
Can you see it?
One of the men asked, his eyes wide as he pointed up to the tree branches.
What?
Mouse asked with a frown. Even Rebecca was curious as she looked up into the branches.
The most beautiful bird I've ever seen,
the other man said. All four of them looked up into the branches and smiled at the sight of a bright blue bird nestled on a branch.
I thought it would be a ghost,
Mouse said with a sigh.
It's good to look out for the supernatural,
the man with the camera said.
But it's also very important not to miss out on the natural.
Rebecca grinned as she took a moment to get her notebook out of her backpack and fill in the solution to one more mystery solved. Book 5, Grown-Ups Out to Get Us, Chapter 1. There was a mystery afoot in Rebecca's small town of Curtis Bay, and she was determined to solve it. She had already been at it for a few days. It had all started when the local policeman, James Todd, started handing out tickets to everyone who walked across the street. He claimed it was jaywalking and that people must cross at the crosswalk. Of course, there was a brand new crosswalk, too. But why? Not only that, but all of the shopkeepers along the street were cleaning their windows. They were painting their storefronts. Some had even gotten new flashy bright signs.
Something strange is happening here,
Rebecca said as she watched another group of painters head for the last shop on the corner. Everyone was so busy, as if they were getting ready for something. Or everyone in town just decided to freshen up and make some changes at the same time. All of the adults she passed would stop talking as she approached. and then whisper as she walked by. She tried listening in on a few conversations, but she could not seem to sneak up and go undetected. Something was very fishy, and she was determined to find out what it was. All of the secrecy made her think that there was something very sinister going on. She stopped to ask Mr. Winston, one of the teachers from the school, who was speaking quietly with the owner of the hardware shop.
"Mr. Winston, why is everyone acting so strange?"
Mr. Winston quieted down really fast when he heard Rebecca's voice.
"Oh, Rebecca," he said quickly, "don't you have homework you should be doing?"
Rebecca stared at the teacher, her eyes wide.
"Mr. Winston, it's summertime."
"Oh, right." Mr. Winston scratched at the top of his head.
"Well, it's never too soon to get ready for the school year. You should go home and do some reading or something."
Rebecca gasped and shook her head.
I'm going,
she said quickly, afraid that Mr. Winston might assign her some extra summer homework. As she hurried away, she heard the two men begin to whisper again. By the time she got home, she was sure that there was more than a mystery to solve. There was a plot. Chapter 2. At dinner, her parents were extra quiet.
"I was in town today," Rebecca started to say.
"You shouldn't go into town by yourself," her father warned.
"Really, Rebecca, you shouldn't be so nosy. I'm always allowed to go into town, and I didn't even say anything about being nosy."
"Rebecca," both her parents said at once, "leave the grown-ups alone." Rebecca sat back in her chair and stared at her parents, as if they had been replaced by aliens. Both were looking so sternly at her when she had not even done anything wrong. Her parents knew how much she liked to be a detective, and they had always understood. Now they were acting as if she would not even be allowed out of the house.
"Eat your peas," her father said.
"Eat more of your meat," her mother said. But Rebecca wasn't really hungry anymore. Chapter 3. The next day, Rebecca went to the library. Here, things were just as odd. The library was getting a good power wash and new decorations in the windows. The parking lot had freshly painted lines for parking places. All very odd. Mrs. Peters, the librarian, was standing outside the library watching the power washing. Rebecca stopped beside her and waited until the loud machine was turned off.
"Oh, it's beautiful,"
Mrs. Peters clapped her hands happily.
"But why?"
Rebecca asked from beside her.
Because the machines had been so loud,
Mrs. Peters had not even heard Rebecca step up behind her.
"Oh, Rebecca," Mrs. Peters said crossly. "You should not sneak up on people."
Rebecca sighed heavily. She was getting very tired of everyone being upset with her just for asking a question or two.
"I'm sorry, Mrs. Peters," she said. "I was just wondering why the library is getting such a washing."
"It was just time for a bath," Mrs. Peters said with a sparkle in her eye. "Nothing more. Now move along, Rebecca. I have things to do. I'm much too busy today to talk."
Rebecca crossed her arms and frowned as Mrs. Peters walked away. She had never been so put off by so many people. She wondered if she had done something she could not remember. Was everyone angry at her for some reason? She decided to walk toward Mouse's house to see what he thought might be going on. Chapter 4. As she walked further along the sidewalk, she came across two men in hard hats. They were looking at large maps in their hands. It showed the main street of the town.
"What is that?" Rebecca asked curiously.
She wondered if it had something to do with all the strange activity in town.
"Not now, little girl," one of the men said and waved his hand lightly. "Far too busy right now. You must move along."
Rebecca was very surprised that they were being so rude. She was used to everybody being friendly. She decided that she'd had enough of trying to get answers from the people in the street about what was going on around town. She would find out what was happening from a good source. Mouse would have to wait. Beverly Barr always knew everything that was going on in town. In school, she was the person to go to when the whole world wanted to know the answer to a question. She was always the one to know it. Beverly Barr usually spent her summer days in the ice cream shop so she could catch up on all the town gossip. This is where she was when Rebecca found her. She was sipping a chocolate shake. The first thing Rebecca noticed about Beverly Barr was that she was sitting quietly. She never sat alone. She rarely stopped talking long enough to hear the gossip she would spread. Yet today, Beverly sipped her milkshake in silence.
Beverly, what is happening around town?
Rebecca asked as she sat down beside her.
Oh, nothing, Beverly said quickly. Nothing at all. Boring day, same as usual. Beverly, are you feeling okay?
Rebecca asked with concern.
Of course I am.
She slurped down the last of her milkshake.
Sorry, Rebecca, I have to go. Much too busy today to talk.
She hurried out the door of the ice cream shop. Rebecca could only stare after her in shock. Beverly was certainly never too busy to talk. Chapter 5. As the darkness fell, the sounds of the town became quiet. As she walked home that night, her mind was filled with troubling thoughts. As soon as she got home, she ran up to her room and pulled out her detective notebook to get all her questions down on paper. It seemed as if the whole town had played a part in the great mystery. Everyone, that is, except for the children. When she thought of this, alarm bells began to ring in her mind. What if they're planning something that has to do with all of us kids? It was a worrisome thought. It was summer. Maybe they were thinking of starting school early. Maybe they were trying to hide some new law about kids being in the main street. She couldn't think of too much trouble kids had caused lately. Why would they be left out of whatever change was happening? She still was not sure what to think as she went downstairs to see if dinner was ready. In the hallway outside of the kitchen, she paused when she heard her father speak.
Just make sure she doesn't find out.
Yes, if she does, we will have a real problem on our hands, Rebecca's mother replied. There was only so much Rebecca could take. They were hiding things from her, too. She was very surprised as her parents were always honest with her, and she trusted them very much. She never expected they would try to hide something from her.
Oh, just think, her mother sighed happily. Just one more day. Won't it be wonderful?
It will, her father agreed. Finally, the kids of this town will get what they deserve.
Rebecca gasped. It was about the kids.
Hi,
she said quietly as she stepped into the kitchen. They both looked startled to see her standing there.
Hi, her father said brightly. Hungry?
He asked with a wide smile and held out a plate of her favorite food, spaghetti. She shrugged and bit into her lip. Both of her parents laughed. Oh, Rebecca, you're a strange one sometimes. Rebecca stared at her plate. Maybe that was why they were keeping things from her. If only she weren't so strange. Chapter 6. After dinner that night, Rebecca crept into her room. She picked up her phone and dialed her friend Mouse.
Mouse, she whispered into her phone. I figured it out, she sighed.
What?
Mouse asked sleepily. Rebecca knew he always kept his phone beside the bed because it was fairly often that she would call in the middle of the night with something very important to tell him. Rebecca told him about all the strange activity that day. She told him how her parents had acted too.
So now I know why, she said glumly.
Why what?
Mouse asked with a yawn.
Why the town is changing so much, she said quickly. Haven't you been paying attention to anything I've said?
She growled into the phone.
Most of it,
Mouse replied. He tried to be supportive, but to Rebecca, everything was a mystery.
Well, listen closely now, she said sternly. I think they're trying to get rid of all the children in Curtis Bay.
What?
Mouse asked with a short laugh.
That's nuts, even for you, Rebecca.
And just what is that supposed to mean? She demanded.
It just means that I don't think the town is trying to get rid of the children. Oh, Rebecca, Mouse sighed. I think you might be a little off on this one.
I'm never off, Rebecca insisted.
Oh, really? He laughed. What about the giant purple creature? He asked smugly.
Rebecca was quiet for a moment.
Rebecca?
He asked.
Well, maybe I was a little off on that one, she sighed. But not this time. I'll be over first thing in the morning and I'll prove it.
All right, Rebecca.
Mouse sighed and hung up the phone. Chapter 7.
Mouse, Mouse, Rebecca called out as she knocked on his front door.
It was very early in the morning, and she knew how much Mouse liked to sleep in. She continued pounding on his front door. Finally, the door opened, and she saw a sleepy mouse standing there.
What's going on, Rebecca?
He asked with a groan.
There is something very strange going on here, she said firmly.
When isn't there?
He asked. Mouse was used to Rebecca's detective work. Most of the time it took them on wild and interesting adventures. But he did prefer them to start later in the day, especially when it wasn't a school day.
No, I mean it, Rebecca insisted. It's like everyone in town has been replaced by pod people.
Oh,
Mouse asked with more interest. He liked anything that involved aliens.
Not real pod people, Rebecca said with a frown. Don't be so silly.
I'm not trying to be silly, he replied. You're the one that brought up pod people.
Mouse, she cried out desperately. This is serious.
Okay, okay, he said. Let me just get dressed. I'll be right back.
As they walked toward town together, Rebecca told them all about the strange way people had been acting.
Well, Rebecca, you do usually ask a lot of questions. Maybe everyone just needed a break from it, he said as nicely as he could. You know adults can be funny that way.
Yes, Rebecca nodded thoughtfully. That is true, but it seemed very odd that all of them are acting that way.
I bet everyone will be back to normal now.
They continued to walk along.
Maybe, Rebecca nodded a little. She wanted to believe him, but her gut told her there were a lot of secrets being kept.
Chapter 8. When they reached the main street, there was still a lot happening. Vendor carts had rolled away so that the sidewalk could be cleaned. The streets were blocked off for street sweepers. There was even a man walking around with a clipboard who seemed to be checking off different things he saw that might need cleaning or fixing.
This is a little strange,
Mouse muttered, as the adults on the sidewalk hurried past them without even saying hello. As they walked by so fast, one of them dropped a pamphlet from the pile of books she was carrying. Rebecca bent down and picked it up. She tried to hand it back to the woman, but she only continued to walk as fast as she could.
Rebecca, look at that,
Mouse said as he pointed at one of the bike racks being unbolted from the sidewalk. Two more had already been removed.
Why are they taking our bike racks?
She wondered, her eyes lowered to the pamphlet in her hand. It described a community called Westwood. All of the glossy pictures were filled with bright green grass and perfect little homes. In bold text beneath one of the pictures it said, Westwood is an adults-only community and children are not permitted.
Oh no! She cried out and covered her mouth. I knew it. I was right, but now I know why I was right. I know why they're taking our bike racks.
Why?
Mouse asked, still looking very confused.
Because they want to turn our town into an adult-only community, Rebecca wailed as she looked around at the adults hurrying off in all directions,
all doing their best to avoid Rebecca and Mouse.
Rebecca?
Mouse smacked his forehead lightly.
That is absolutely impossible.
Maybe,
Rebecca replied, and then pointed to the bold text on the pamphlet.
But why else would they be handing out these pamphlets? Why else would they be taking our bike racks and making sure they're too busy to talk to us?
Mouse had a hard time thinking of another reason, even though her explanation was so odd to him.
"Our parents would never allow it,"
Mouse reminded her firmly.
"Besides, there are way too many kids in town for all of us to be forced out."
"Maybe," Rebecca bit into her bottom lip, "but I, for one, am going to find out for sure."
Just as she spoke, she saw an entire line of children being led down one side of the street.
"Look," Rebecca said, "they won't even let those kids walk on the main street."
And she turned to look at Mouse, but it was not Mouse she saw.
"Rebecca, you need to go home now," the mayor said.
Mayor Jackson was one of the most well-known people in town. Rebecca had always found him to be a bit stiff, but he was the mayor after all.
"Mr. Jackson, we were just going to the library," Rebecca said nervously.
Mouse stepped closer to her.
"The library is closed," Mr. Jackson said ominously, "as is the ice cream shop and all of the stores. We're doing some special deep cleaning off the main street, so we ask that everyone stay off of it."
"Everyone but the adults?" Rebecca inquired boldly. Mr. Jackson's eyes glimmered with a strange look, but Rebecca could not tell what it meant.
"Rebecca, there is no mystery here for you to solve. Go home and enjoy your day."
Rebecca stared after him as he walked away.
"Oh, dear," she said, and crossed her arms. "If the mayor is saying there is no mystery, then we're all in trouble."
"This is very strange,"
Mouse had to admit. He glanced over at the line of children walking down the side street.
"I wonder how they will get rid of us,"
Rebecca said quietly as they began to walk back toward their neighborhood.
"Maybe they will put us all on buses. Maybe they will fly us to another country."
Mouse sighed as he shook his head.
"I don't know how, but I think I know when."
He pointed at a small sign on the light post they passed as they left Main Street. 7 p.m. Ring your children. Nothing else. No reason why. No fancy decorations. Just a simple black and white sign.
"It's going to happen tonight," Rebecca said darkly. "I can't believe this is happening."
"Me neither,"
Mouse agreed.
"We have to find a way to stop it," Rebecca said bravely. "They can't just get rid of all the children. Curtis Bay is our town, too."
They agreed to meet back in town around 6:30. Until then, they would have to think of a plan. How could two kids save all the children in the entire town? Chapter 9. That night, when they met up in town, Rebecca was armed with a few ideas, but she was certain none of them would work.
"What do you think we can do?"
Mouse wondered.
"I think the only thing we can do is try to talk them out of it," Rebecca sighed.
They stuck to the side streets to get into town, not wanting anyone to notice them. As they walked, they heard a strange sound coming from just outside of town. It sounded like weird music, followed by very loud stomping.
"What in the world?"
Mouse asked as he looked down the street. He could not see anything yet, but it was clear whatever it was coming in their direction.
"Maybe that's how they plan to get all the kids out of their houses," Rebecca said with a glare. "By playing music like the ice cream man."
"Rebecca, I really don't think our parents would do this to us,"
Mouse said firmly.
"Maybe not, but my parents were talking about how they had to keep a secret from me. So why would they need to keep anything a secret?"
she demanded. She didn't want to think it was true either. Usually she could come up with a pretty rational explanation, but this time she could not think of any other answer for. As she noticed some adults approaching, she pulled Mouse into the alley between two shops.
"No matter what, we have to stick together," she said sternly to him.
"Of course,"
he replied with a sharp nod. The music was getting closer. The loud thumping was getting closer, too. Rebecca was stunned by this, as she was sure that there was nothing that would explain it. What kind of car would have a radio so loud? Mouse was huddled close to her as they both tried to figure out what was happening. All of a sudden,
All the shops on the street turned on their lights. It was late afternoon and nearly closing time for most of them. What were they doing lighting up the street?
Oh, no. Something is definitely happening, Rebecca said as she saw the adults beginning to flood the streets.
They all had their children in tow.
It's happening, Rebecca squealed and grabbed Mouse's hand. We have to hide. We have to find a place where no one will see us.
Soon they saw Mouse's parents arrive.
Mouse,
they called out through the crowd.
Don't answer, Rebecca commanded. If they find us, we'll be toast.
Mouse stayed quiet and sniffled.
Rebecca,
she heard her father call out over the noise of the people gathering on the street.
Dad,
Rebecca whispered quietly. She did not want to believe that her parents would want to give her away either. What was so wrong with having kids in town? They were a lot of fun to have around. The music that was approaching was very lively. It did not sound like the kind of music you would expect from something arriving to take all the children away. Rebecca was curious when she began to hear the other children cheer.
What's happening?
Mouse wondered as he peered around the edge of the alley.
I'm not sure,
Rebecca replied, and also tried to see around the corner. She did not want to be tricked, but that music sounded like a lot of fun. Just as she was peering around the corner, she heard the roar of a lion.
Ah!
She cried out and ducked back into the shadows.
They brought a lion,
she squealed.
Lions?
Mouse had to see. He stepped out of the alley and gasped with surprise.
Rebecca, come look,
he said quickly.
Come see, hurry.
With all the cheering and even Mouse seeming very excited, Rebecca decided to take a look. She didn't see anything at first until the first big elephant came pounding through.
An elephant?
She said with surprise.
They're not here to take us away,
Mouse laughed. It's a circus.
A circus?
Rebecca was shocked.
How? Why?
She sputtered. Her mother stepped up beside her. Rebecca, our whole town is so proud of all of our kids. We just wanted to plan a special surprise for them.
A surprise?
Rebecca laughed.
Why didn't you just tell me?
Rebecca's parents exchanged a long glance. Well, Rebecca, we weren't sure you would play along and keep it a secret, like Beverly did.
Beverly knew?
Mouse asked with a frown.
Of course she did,
Rebecca laughed and threw her hands up in the air.
Beverly knows everything.
Well, that does it for our program today. This Children's Hour program is a production of Audio Journal, a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network. If you would like a hard copy of our program schedule, either in large print or braille, please call 508-797-1117. Archived editions of this program are available on our website, audiojournal.org, or go to the Audio Journal app on your iPhone, iPad, or Android device. I hope you'll join us next week for Children's Hour. If you have any ideas or comments, we'd love to hear from you. I'm Holly Miller. Thanks for listening.
Did you know? ADA paratransit riders in Worcester, Auburn, Boylston, Leicester, Northboro, Oxford, Westboro, and West Boylston now have the option to schedule trips through the Worcester Regional Transit Authority's new online reservation system. Call customer service at 508-791-9782 or email paratransit@therta.com to begin scheduling your trip online.
People with disabilities adapt on a daily basis. They're people you want on your team. And we're here to help you find blind and visually impaired professionals to help you reach your organizational goals. Building an inclusive workforce where individuals with disabilities are welcome is possible thanks to Mass Commission for the Blind. Partner with them to hire individuals who are blind or visually impaired and reach your workforce goals. The success of your organization depends on the diversity of your team. Call 1-800-392-6450 or visit mass.gov/MCB to learn how you can become an employer partner for the blindness community. That's 1-800-392-6450 or mass.gov/MCB.